Mentally was making a little bit more and a little bit more, and then I think the first company to hire me in earnest, I did a couple of replacing dancers. After a while, I was like the replacement dancer, like someone would get injured and I'd replace them, and I was just like doing these things. But then the folks at Company 605, Josh Martin and Lisa Jelly, asked me to be in this work they're making called the Inheritor album, and I kind of feel like that was like when I started dancing a lot as a dancer, making work a little bit less and like really being like capital D dancer in Vancouver. Danced for a number of folks here, Maskell Dance and Wen Wei. And like Wen Wei, I was a replacement dancer, but I got to go on. That's who I went to China with. So I'm so lucky, and I'm
I love it.
indebted to him for that opportunity. And then it was just on. Then I was just dancing again, and I didn't have another job, and I was able to fully make a living, make a living doing 18 gigs at once, but
Of
still,
course, of course. Yes.
I was back. And then I think around 2009, 2010, I started making more and more and more work.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And I love it. And now, I mean, let's like fast forward over to Push Festival and the Brutal Joy. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about the Brutal Joy. I mean, for listeners who are considering, naming Push Festival because there's a lot going on with Push Festival. How would you describe the Brutal Joy? Like what could someone expect? Like, tell me a little bit about,
The Brutal Joy, I mean, it's a trio. I may be the only person dancing. It's often people say, "Oh, are you doing your solo?" And I really like assert it is not a solo. It's a trio. It's a trio of like me dancing, Maurizio Paoli making sound live, and James Proudfoot on lights live. So the work is an improvisation. It's a structured improvisation. And there are times where the dance really takes center. And there are times where the sound, like there's, like it's just like a concert for a moment or several moments. And then there's time where I'm still, but the way the lighting, James Proudfoot is one of the most wonderful humans, one of my favorite people on the planet, but also is like is an artist, not just a designer. Like he is a designer and he's an artist, but he's one of my, I've been making work with him for about 15 years, and he's one of my favorite dance partners. I can be still, and the way he moves light creates choreography around me. He works a lot with shadow, absence, hollows. He has this way of like moving lights in this really fast motion, fast way across lights called a chase. He does these wild chases that makes me look like my shadow animates my shadow. So there are moments where I'm not moving at all.
But you're moving.
But I'm moving, like
But you're moving.
he projects all these different versions of me. He works intuitively, but also incredibly intellectually and conceptually, but when in the moment of dancing, in the moment of performance, he's just dancing with me as if we're improvising together as two dance bodies. And Maurizio also is an incredible, he works with me also at the School for Contemporary Arts. He's a sound prof, and he is an improviser, an incredible improviser. And I think being an improviser is like the hardest thing you'll ever
Oh,
do in
it's
your
top
life.
tier. I think so. I mean, just in general,
In
it's
general, period,
like,
right? I mean,
period.
you're an improviser too.
Like,
Like
literally, like.
that is your you so like how do you be responsive but not reactionary? How do you like sort of instantaneously compose by remembering what was said 3 minutes ago to pull it forward and all of this kind of thing? And Mao is really amazing at that. And so he works with like buttons and knobs, but also with a stringed instrument. But also we've recorded all, like he sort of all of our conversations, all of the sounds we sampled and played with over the last few years, he's brought everything we've always done forward in some way or another. So he's also been building an archive of the work. And we always get something like the other day I was in a studio and he's like, "Remember this sound?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that was like from 2 years ago." And he's like, "It's coming up, it's coming with us, this version." So yeah, and James, because James has worked with me for so many years, he's even calling up lighting states from old work we've done before, because I think of this work as an archival practice. I call it a counter archive because it's like the archive that doesn't hold, it's like there's official archives and I don't think they represent us very well. I don't think they represent Black folks. I think they hold the
Facts.
eyes of the empire. They don't hold the eyes of our living. We are always
Absolutely.
reduced to biological data. We are
Absolutely.
never our humanity. And I think for me, this work is a counter archive, and I'm calling up in real time memories of dance, memories of sociality, memories of my family. While I was
Yes.
making this work, this is a four part thing. I started in 2018 making
Oh,
this
okay.
series of works that was about archiving. And I started with a project I did with my grandmother called Tail Feather, where I was trying to recreate dances she did in the 40s at this at the Parkway Ballroom.
Yes.
And it was through like conversations on the phone. My grandmother made me feel like a unicorn, like the most
Oh.
important thing always. I
I
never doubted her love, and of course these are like weird generational things that like maybe my mom doesn't quite feel like that, but I feel like that, you
But you feel
know.
exactly,
So there are
exactly.
these things like the ways you can parent and the ways you can grandparent are very, very different.
Absolutely.
And so I started with Tail Feather with her. This is definitely the last iteration. And then partway through making this work, my grandmother died in this July 2024. So this work is for her, this work is for us. And it's like captures maybe some of those summers, all of those summers in the Chicago, all of the conversations. You know, even with my great grandmother, who I was terrified of, but we'd go get a pint of ice cream and she'd let me eat a whole pint of ice cream, which was wild, right? Like I was like, what? There, I lived in a house with a no sugar house, so I was like, what? I get to eat it? But I feel like in this work, my body is like very mutable. I'm just working to like in real time call up memories of movement, of postures. That are associated with dancing, but also I'm using the structure of the electric slide.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna, that's like, look at you going into my next question. I was gonna ask, look at life segueing in into line dancing. I was segueing into line dancing because I know you brought up Chicago. It's fun fact, I also spent some time in Chicago as a kid. I have uncles that live there. It was a long time, so I don't even remember the areas, but I did spend summers there. And line dancing, I love a line dance,
Me
you
too.
know.
That's all I
So,
want to
you know what I mean? So tell me, especially now, like, I mean, I'm always on the TikTok streets, the line dancing with the fans and the thing. You know
Okay,
what I
I want
mean?
this dance. That's the
Right?
next dance. I want people to do it with, because of course I taught it to
Right?
myself. Yeah.
Listen, we will connect.
Okay. Deal.
But back to the question is about line dancing and the significance of line dancing in this, you know, piece. Like, you know, we share.
Yeah, I think at one point in one of the iterations, these four pieces I made, one of them I was thinking about my dancing archive and was trying to figure out, like, because I've always said, you know, my formative training was ballet. But at a certain moment, I was like, the first piece of choreography I ever learned, probably when I was 3 or 4, maybe younger, was the electric slide. So that, in fact, is my formative dance, right? Like that's
Yes.
how I moved into dance. And what I love about the electric slide, or any line dance for that matter, is like they're all just walking, right? So
Right.
there's there. Oh, I don't know why the AI. Anyways, so there's something about like the openness, the capaciousness of these dances. Is they're simple enough that anyone can do them, but they're simple enough that you can add as much complexity as you want. So then I
That
was
part.
like thinking about how people, you know, my great uncle would do it, and he'd do it all small with his shoulders all just popping a little bit, you know. But then my
Yes.
cousin Brian would like smack the floor, and
Yes.
like, you know, somebody might sort of like make the step forward, you know, the step and the touch forward. They'd like make it a split and come back up. And I
Yes.
was like, oh, this dance can hold whatever. And maybe it actually
Absolutely.
allows us to self-actualize in a way that we can't do outside of community, that we can't do outside
Absolutely.
of ritual events. And I was
Absolutely.
like, maybe this dance is the dance that like holds our humanity, holds our aspirations, and is a way to self-determine. And I was
Absolutely.
like, this is it. So then, of course, I start doing research and then realize that line dances, we have, I mean, we'll talk about Black America, too big a thing, but that, you know, on plantations, of course, everyone who came from the plantation was not from the same place. Often they didn't
Right.
speak the same language, had the same culture,
Right.
but they all had a circle dance. And there
Look
was a way for sort of like inter-ethnic from African continent, it was how they could like find each other, locate themselves, is like doing these circle dances and the variations of them. But of course, plantation owners were deeply threatened,
Of
terrified
course.
by this, and shut it down. So the folks that were working in the homes, the enslaved folks working in the homes, taught themselves the line dances, the minuets, the quadrilles, took them back to where they had to live, taught them to everybody, and then they adapted them and they hid the circle inside the line. So they could do the line dance, be respectable, be acceptable, but inside of that, they built circles in the line so that they didn't have to sort of untether themselves from spirituality, untether themselves from a sense of self, of knowing this, you know? And then I was like, oh yeah. Then I started thinking about the electric slide. I'm like, oh yeah, it turns every corner, right? It turns every corner, you know?
It sure does.
And you're never, and it's never facing one way only, because of course you would
That's
never
true.
show your back, right? Like
That's
you would
right.
never give your back, right? And so then I started looking at a bunch of other dances, but the dance that's mine, I was like, work with the dance that's yours, and it is the
Of course.
electric slide. So it is like in a kind of conceptual way, and also it shows up in earnest also, but it became a way to structure the work. And then along with that, I started thinking about vamp, riff, and break that we see in jazz music, that we see in blues music, that we see in rock and roll, all of which are black music forms.
Of course.
So we use this idea of the vamp, the riff, and the break, and we kind of take turns being those things in the work. The break is something you can't rely on, doesn't always show up, but when it does, it's really glorious, you know. But there's all this sort of vamping and riffing among us with this structure of the line dance. And then, of course, dandyism is, I come from a family of dandies. I love fashion.
Oh, I swear, are you in my brain? Because that is my next question talking going to be about style. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I mean,
Just
this was
clean.
preordained, destined.
I swear, my next, I was going to talk about the custom workwear suit that's designed by your friend Cassandra Bailey, right? And I wanted to talk about that, and then I wanted to get into like what your relation to style is. So,
Well,
like,
talk about the suit. Cassie has a clothing line based in Vancouver called Old Fashioned Standards. I wear a lot of clothes. It's all sort of elevated, upscale, but not even upscale, just like beautifully tailored, impeccably
Well
made
put to,
workwear, not trendy, but never out of style, you know? And for me, that's
timeless.
like the timeless, right? Like, you know, she doesn't succumb to trend, you know, but it's always exactly the right thing to be wearing. She's also an extraordinarily wonderful human.
Love.
And I'd been, you know, I would save my pennies to buy her jeans and her suits, because I love a suit. Like, I love a matchy matchy. Like, maybe that's left over from like church, like Black Pentecostal and Baptist church. I'm like, I love a matchy. I love a matching set. But I was went to her and I was like, Cassie, I need a suit and I think you need to make it. And I want it to be waxed cotton, which is like another conversation about Dutch and Dutch, the Dutch and black, and we'll talk about those.
And
But
all the
that's neither
trust.
between you and me,
I
neither
feel
here
like you're gonna be back or something. I feel
nor
like we
there.
I swear to you.
So there was something about like the shoulders. I was like, I need the shoulders to be like, we need to be calling to Prince and to Bowie. And there needs, like, I need to be able to move in it, but it also has to be workwear, because this is work. Like, just not just dance is work, but I think there's a lot more work we have to do to live than other folks do, and things have to
Of
be,
course.
and it has to be durable, but it also has to be beautiful and chic. And then I said, you know, I also have this like flash dance reference I want in. I want just to have the cuffs of the shirt. I don't want sleeves. I just want the
Oh yeah.
cuffs. And so she built me this beautiful suit, which is waxed cotton. And of course, the thing that I didn't think of is that that doesn't breathe. So
I don't mean to
it is
giggle,
hot
but
as a you know what in that suit. So I had to choreograph at some point taking off the jacket, because it's like rivulets of water, like my socks and
You're
the
in a
top.
pool of
Yeah, I'm in a pool of my own sweat. But we built this. Yeah, she. It's just perfect. And And I just think because I come from a family, I consider my family all dandies, in its many expressions, right? Like I
Of
think
course.
my kid's a full sweatsuit dandy.
Yes.
Like this person in my child has the best style, but it's
Love.
always track, like it's sweatsuits always of
Yeah.
some sort, you know,
Yes.
but the hat just right and the
Love it.
So my
Coordination.
coordination, but like fashion is my like I never understood until I really started researching this work, like why fashion. Like it is my only hobby. People are like, oh, I hike and I do this and I do that. I'm like, I dance and I do fashion. That's
I
it.
know you fashion, yes, I love.
Or I do art and art thinking and fashion. And my
I
mother
love.
was a hardcore fashionista when I was growing up. She never looked like the other moms. Sometimes I was embarrassed about it. Sweetheart, I'm still in my thing. Can I go back? Thank you. Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, so I grew up with a mom that would wear like a big to the floor, like dusting along the floor, black leather duster and a pillbox hat with her hair. I mean, I don't have the same hair as my mom, but like she would have all these like braids with bones, but and I loved it at home and sometimes would be embarrassed because we grew up in white neighborhoods, like
Of
a
course.
weird. And then like she would have like suede matching outfits. She had those Reebok 5411s, the ones with the Velcro at the
Oh,
top. I wear a
yes.
pair for the shoot, the show. She had them in three colors, and
Wow.
sometimes she'd wear the red one on the left foot and a purple one on the right foot. Like my
Okay.
mom is like, and
Top
I think
tier.
that top
Top
tier.
tier.
Yeah. So, and then even, but my grandmother too, and mother dear, that's my great grandmother. We had to call her mother dear. She was a seamstress. I mean, at my sister's wedding, mother dear wore a long to the floor yellow feathered dress with a yellow feathered hat. Like, talk about pulling focus, right? Like,
Right. She said,
so,
I'm here.
she always said, I'm here. So I think that for me, yeah, I have an enormous wardrobe. It could be bigger if I had the room. This there's a play date happening at my house right now, and the child comes over, and I was like, "There's no room in the coat closet for anything but my coats."
Just putting it out there, just letting you know.
I was like, "But you can put it on the chair." So, but I think like just like the space that there is in the electric slide to express oneself, that's what fashion does. And I think the dandy is an audacious figure. I think the
Absolutely.
dandy, I think we that the dandy takes again, you take just like they took those European line dances and made them something amazing. And we can just talk about how that has continued through time and continues to TikTok is evidence that
100%.
we keep taking black dances and then we have to take them back and
Repackaging
do
it and
something
yep,
else, you know?
100%.
And same with, the dandy wears the three-piece suit because it's acceptable, but there's always a turn, right? There's always a turn on the seat. Whether it's like, I mean, I think about Fresh Prince, when
Yes.
he wore his jacket inside
I
out because the
remember
lining
Inside
was more
Out.
free.
Yes.
So like
Yes.
these types of things are like a patterned sock or a cufflink. I mean, I'm wearing a cufflink around my neck right now. So like
Love.
a cufflink that's like just so that the
Yes.
closer you go, the more layers, right? And there's a kind
Yes.
of an imaginative world inside the wearing of the coat. I mean, often my underwear matches the outside of my clothes. No one will know but me, but I know.
Nobody will know, but you know.
I
You know.
think there's that, and I thought, oh, this is another way to self-determine, to assert presence, and to be asked to be more than what we've been told we are, because we know better. Like,
Facts.
we know better. That's it.
Period. Period. We do. We really do. Okay, so I can't believe that we're winding down, because I know I could talk with you forever.
Yes,
But
please.
before I plug the show again, I do want to ask you, if you could share a little bit about maybe what's next for you. Like if there's anything that you might have, that you are brewing, it's got brewing for you.
I mean, I tour the show a little bit more. Goes
Okay.
to Edmonton
Oh, right
in
on. E-Town.
April with Mile Zero Dance Society, Jerry Marita, whom I love. And then we're going to the Fierce Festival in Birmingham in the UK, which is a festival I've wanted to
Okay.
be in for like 10 years. So it's a little bit of a dream moment. Thank
Congratulations. That's
you.
awesome.
I have an exhibition that opens at the Ore Gallery in September. where I'm showing an installation of another dance work I made, which is around Gestures of Resistance, a duet that I made with my friend Laura Young, and then I made it into a film, a video installation. So that's in Vancouver. You can check that out. It's also going to be in Kamloops this spring.
Awesome.
And then, like, maybe I'm in the beginning of starting to think about another work, because I've been with this, I call it the Heirloom Suite, even though I don't even like that name, but that's what I call it. I've been in this since 2018, like looking at these line dances and dandyism and all of this. And so I feel like maybe, maybe it's time for the next thing. And I'm not always entirely, I think there has something to do with clothing again, but maybe in a different kind of way. But I'm not sure, because I just haven't had enough time and space.
Time to, I know, I feel you. I'm like, and as you know, I think that what we share is in a similarity is like things change all the time. You know what I mean? Like, and I am always open to go to the next thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't resist it. That's probably the thing, right? So I love that for you. I do want to, before I plug again, guys, because I am going to give you information about the show. It will be in the show notes and all the things, but I would love for you to share, like, how could people connect with you online?
Yeah. I don't know if my Instagram is public or private, but it's like Justine A. Chambers is always the handle I use, justine.a.chambers. But my website, my very lousy website, because
it's not very lousy, guys.
It's basically a blog made fancy, because
it's
don't know.
Cute.
It's just like it's like a list, but that's justineachambers.com, all one long word. You can always reach out to me at the university, because I believe that email is public out in the world somewhere if you look up assistant professor. I'm super, I love a conversation. I think that's how I think. I'm not alone in a room and things like don't hatch like Athena out of Zeus's head for me. It's always in conversation. So if these things resonate with you, let's talk
connect.
About it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So The Brutal Joy, which channels the overwhelming beauty of Black living, is taking place at PUSH International Performing Arts Festival on February 5th and 6th at the Scotia Dance Center. I am going to include information about this show in the notes, including like a link to purchase tickets, all of the things. Justine, I want to thank you for hanging out with me.
Oh my God, Nicole, thank you. I'm so energized now.
Right?
I'm so energized. Thank you for, and also like, thank you for already knowing this stuff. It's very different to talk to someone who just knows. And I'm really grateful for that.
I know, right? Yes. I know, because it's not that easy in the West sometimes.
Not that easy in the West sometimes.
That's all I got to say. So. Well, again, so much love and blessings to you. And I am looking forward to coming out to the show, Trust and Believe, because I was already excited. That's the reason why I connected as well. Yeah. But also hearing it from you, you know what I mean? And hearing you talk about it, especially like how sound and light also connect with dance.
Yeah, you know? They are also the main characters.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. All right. So thank you again.
My pleasure.
And I want to thank everyone for listening.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us.
Yes.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
This is Bird Note. Nothing says summer like a day at the beach. Whether you're lounging by a lake or enjoying a seaside vacation, here are five things you can do to share the shore with birds. 1. Give birds their space. Keep a respectful distance, especially if there are chicks present. 2. Read posted signs and don't enter areas that have been fenced off to protect breeding birds. Some beaches have shorebird monitoring volunteers who can share more information about how to safely access the shoreline. 3. Keep your pets on leash. Even the best trained dogs can harass and hurt birds if left unsupervised. 4. Watch your step. Shorebird eggs and chicks are highly camouflaged and often blend into the beach. Try sticking close to the water, since beach nesting birds are more likely to lay eggs on higher ground where they won't wash away with the tide. And five, pick up trash. Billions of pounds of plastic enter our global oceans every year with deadly consequences for marine animals. And leftover food attracts predators like gulls and raccoons that may prey on vulnerable shorebirds. Learn more about the difference you can make for birds when you visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jonice Franklin. This episode is brought to you by Jim and Beerta Falconer of Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Does it feel to you like AI is taking over? That the bots are winning? That AI actually stands for alarmingly invasive? If you crave more human connection, reach out to friends, play with your children, call your mom, and do what you're doing right now. Listen to the radio. Radio is thankfully, imperfectly human. No ifs, ands, or buts.
To the bottom, dear, I had to fall, but you really caught me. You really caught me, dear, the bottom where I fall. Drive.